So now that you're underway, you're getting started, why don't you, is there anything specifically that you want to know? Is there anything that I can answer for you or get into great detail about that maybe you're coming up against, or things that will really help you with your business? One of the things I want to make sure that we do for sure is go over these phone scripts and make sure we're utilizing these. What paperwork did you get yesterday?
Okay,
so can you what's in there? But if you can think of what is specifically about your business that you'd like to know, is there anything that you would like to know? Any questions you have? New people always have questions. You guys gotta have questions over here.
She just told me she couldn't remember what her question was, so
she forgot it already.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what is your question?
We need two more of these. Guys.
More.
Okay.
One more
business?
Yeah, you have that. Thank you. Do you want one more?
No, I can't think of one.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, we're learning all about how runs the business and all the technical aspects of that part. So we have all these people excited about going out and getting more people. How do we get the product involved in that conversation also?
Well, you got to understand, what you're trying to do in this business, and first and foremost, you got to know what your goals are in this business. In this business, if you develop people and develop a team, product is going to improve. Because that's automatic, because obviously every time somebody signs up, product is delivered. First and foremost, when you sign somebody up in the business, you need to make sure you're getting your people using the product. That they open it, they put it in the refrigerator, they get their knife, you put that in the refrigerator, you get your, the Sozo functional beverage, that they put that in their refrigerator, and start using it. You've got to get people in the habit of using it. If people have never used a product like this before, it's easy for them to sit in the box. And then what happens? The next month they get another box. And the next month they send another box. Before you know it, they got 3 or 4 boxes. And they look at it like it's a burden. Instead of looking at it as a benefit. Always remember this. When it comes to product, it's either going to be looked at one of two ways. An expense or a benefit. Expense or a benefit. Now, obviously, you want it to be looked upon as what?
Benefit.
A benefit. Well, the only way someone's going to look at it as a benefit is if they're actually consistently using the product. Because when people consistently use the product, they feel the difference. They feel the difference. They feel like, you know, we're taking this product every day. I like the way it makes me feel. Now, it might not be something where you're like, wow, when I take the functional beverage every morning, that, wow, I feel like I can go out and conquer the world. But here's what's amazing is when you're not taking it, you feel like you're missing something. You feel like you're missing something. So you got to get people in the habit of using the product. So you, as a leader, as you're trying to grow your team, making sure that everybody's using the product, asking the question, hey, do you have all your cans in the refrigerator? Do you have a can in your refrigerator? Are you taking 2 to 3 ounces every morning? So that's important. Making sure people are using the product. As far as education on the product, when it comes to education, I don't get wrapped up. And this particular training is a business building training. That doesn't mean, though, it's not important to know your product. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be educated on your product. But you use other means outside of here, too, that, like, you have Wednesday night product conference calls. You have a lot of information on your website. And that's great information to study, to learn, to know. However, that doesn't mean you impart that upon people every time. Like, you might be sitting down with different personalities. Some people want to know about the problem, so that's why what's valuable to know, right?
Right.
But some people don't care about that. So, for instance, and this is where people run into problems. When you look at things from your own perspective and you tend to offer people what you like about the business, that's when you can start losing a lot of people. See, if you sat down with me and you focus on the product, you can assign it. Because I really don't care about the product. That's not why I would sign up in the business. I care about the opportunity to make money and things of that nature.
Is there a lot of retail sales in this or no?
I mean, this is really, most of your product sales are going to be generated by your distributors. Most of the people who are your best consumers and customers are your distributors. That doesn't mean you won't have some people that are preferred customers because they like the product, or some of your products won't be retail. But again, why are you doing the business? The reality of it is, let's say you want to make a significant amount of money, which usually people that come to these trainings, that's what they want. I mean, if you pay for the training because you're trying to make an extra $100 a month, it's not necessary. I mean, it's beneficial because it'll help you in every area of your life, but these programs are to earn a significant amount of money. The reality of it is, you're not going to make a significant amount of money retailing your product. There's just not enough margin. When you go out and sell the product, you might make $7, $8 on a product. That's not going to be anything that's going to excite anybody. But sometimes when you get people on the product, if they're not initially interested in doing the business, they could eventually become a distributor because of that experience. Does that make sense? See, when people look at the business, they say one of three things. One, I'm not interested at all. Two, tell me more about your product. Well, three, I'm interested in your opportunity. So what I would like to do is lead with the opportunity. I like to always lead with the opportunity. Because in my opinion, in this industry, really what we do is we sell the fulfillment of dreams. That's what we do. We sell the fulfillment of dreams. See, people get in this business, and because there is a product, people get caught up in the product. They get caught up in the problem. Oh, man, we got coffee, we got energy drinks. People get so caught up in that, and that's what they end up starting to talk about. But I'm telling you, in this business, in this industry, we sell fulfillment of dreams. Think about it. Most people who get in this business are not going to get in this business because they're already making so much money. They're so happy. They're playing golf, you know, 5 days a week, and they go, man, I just got to tell you, I have nothing else to do, and I want to get this business so I can go to all my friends and family and sell them energy drinks. People get in this business for two reasons. One, because they're dissatisfied with something in their life. There's something they're not being fulfilled. Something. And that could be a lot of different things. Not making enough money. Don't have enough time. Right? People want more time. They work all the time, and they're not being fulfilled in that way. Okay? So, they're going to be dissatisfied with something. And the second reason they're going to get in is because they're actually looking. Right? They're actually open. They're actually going, what else can I do to change my situation, to make things better, to be happy, to have more time, to make more money, whatever it is that they want, what else can I do? And I'm a perfect example of that. When I found this business, two things got me involved. Number one, I was dissatisfied with what I was doing. And number two, I was actually saying, there has to be a better business. Like, in other words, I was open to looking. And unless somebody's open to looking, they're not going to get involved. Now, I take like my brother as a perfect example, and I use his story because of how things can change. It's all about timing. Some of you are sitting in here right now. If you just saw this business 5 years ago, you wouldn't be sitting here because maybe the timing would have been the right time. Like at that point, you could have been like, man, that's not for me. But because of where you are right now in your life, when you saw the opportunity, that's what created the opportunity because it was timing. So like when I first presented this opportunity years ago to my brother, who was an academic scholar and became an attorney and he was doing well, for him, he was like, I would never do this business. He was very negative. He couldn't. If you ask my brother if you're ever going to be in the pit, he'd say, no way that was ever going to happen. But things changed in his life. He had a family. He was commuting 2 hours to work, 2 hours home. He became frustrated with his job. He looked at people who worked at his company, and they were in their 70s, still working. All of those things changed his viewpoint in his life, and he started to do the same thing that I did, and that anybody who's sitting here does. There has to be a better way. See, you wouldn't be starting up in this business if you weren't thinking about the fact that there's got to be other ways to do things in your life to get where you want to go. Oh, why would you sign up, right? No, you'd be completely closed. You'd be like, oh, I don't need that. I'm doing this. But because you're at a place in your life where you go, you know what? I'm not where I want to be, or I'm not as happy as I'd like to be. And is there alternatives? Is there options? That means you're the perfect candidate for this business. And honestly, that has nothing to do with product. That has nothing to do with product. So it's not that we don't value the product, but we know through the course of history that if you spend all your time on the product, your business person will move a lot slower. And I always believe, anyway, if you show the opportunity and you expose enough people, you're going to get customers anyway. That's what I believe. I believe this is all about exposure. If you expose people to the opportunity, you're going to get. It's all about exposure. Exposures lead to responses. And if you notice in the word responses, it pretty much spells out sponsor. If you get a lot of responses, lead to sponsoring people. But what we are is we're in the sorting business. We're in the sorting business. That's what we do. We sort people out into three categories. One, not interested. That's one category. Okay, one, not interested. Two, product. Three, opportunity. That's what you got to do. You got to sort people out. And you do that with lots of exposures. And so when Rico went over yesterday, the Players Club, that's why I'm a big advocate of that system. The Players Club forms you because it holds you accountable to a certain standard, which is exposures. You got to every month think about it, put 50 names and numbers into your pipeline. And after that, your goal is to get at least a minimum of 15 people to actually look at what you're doing. A minimum of 15 exposures. And we're talking about now, if you're doing this on a part-time basis, like on a full-time basis, you'd be doing that a week. I mean, when I was doing the business full-time, I was getting 50 people from the pipeline a week. I was showing the business to 15, 20, 30 people a week. This is a numbers business. Now, the cool thing about everything that I'm sharing with you, everything that Rico shared with you, is you don't have to do it forever. You only have to do it until you get to the top. Once you get to the top, you can stop. But you can't stop before you get to the top. Because if you do that, you start over. See, you got to work the business until you get to the top. That's how you get momentum in the business. Don't stop until you get to the top.
So if you get one person, expose them, and then they sign up, can you fill the Players Club with all their people? Your Players Club.
Can you fill out? No. You got to go out and continue to get people and get people and get people and get people. Because that's their Players Club, ultimately. Really, it's their contact list. Now, you can if they don't sign up. You can if they don't do the business, because then they're not in the business. They're referrals. All those people are referrals. That's it.
You said, though, that if you sign up one person of your five people, the four can come from them, right?
Yeah.
So
in terms of science.
Yeah.
In terms of science. Like, when you get to the end, your goal is to build a new group of five. But those five didn't come off. They could potentially come off your list of 50 if you had all five individually. But if you got one person off your list and at the bottom you got five, then those wouldn't come off the list of 50. But here's what you got to understand. You got to be you
got to be flexible and fair enough to know what really matters. What really matters the most for the four? The five. So if at the end of the month you got 30 people look, or 30 people on your out of your 50, or 20 people out of your 50, or 10 people out of your 50, at the end of the day, what number matters? Five. That's what gets you results. If the problem is most people flip-flop, right? They got their 50 in the number, they got their 50 in the total, they got nobody's side. It doesn't matter how many people you get out of the 50. All that is the mathematical equation. Mathematical equation. That if you get 50, and you get 15 to look, the odds are you can build a group of five. Why? Because it's been proven in documents. Like, again, it's not something I slept in last night and came up with the idea. Oh, man, this is good. I think that'll work. I've already done it. And in other words, lots of people have done it over and over and over again. 50, 15, 5. Like, we've seen it work. But, I mean, if you sent me a Players Club form and it had 17 names and it had, you know, six people with the opportunity and you had five, then all I would say to you is, look, if you multiply that, what would you be doing? If you could get 17 people, show six, get five, what if you got 34 and 12, what would you do? Yeah, but I wouldn't be saying to you, oh my gosh, look at you. That's a good job. It's just now you understand mathematically how good your skills are. You can do this to get this to get that. So that's how I look at it. What I look at is, but if you got 17 people to show the business, or 17 people out of your business, you got six people to look, and you got nobody to sign up, well, you ain't showing enough people. You ain't exposing enough people. That's the whole point. But this is what the business falls down to. And that's why that 7-minute video is so valuable, because of speed. I love people that tell me, yeah, but I showed the video and I showed it, you know, several times or a bunch of times. And you got to understand how people, first of all, we all know this is something for people lie. Okay? You got to know. And then they embellish. Like, people throw around words like a lot. A bunch. I always find that comment. What's a lot? One person is not a lot. Like people said, you know, I share the problem with a lot of people and nobody wants me. How many is that? A lot of people to me is like hundreds. Like a lot of people are hundreds of people. They, how many people is a lot? Well, I shared it with my neighbor, they didn't want me. And that's a lot. I mean, that's one person. That's the people doing this business, so don't say something there. Then I shared it with a bunch of people. I shared the video with a bunch of people. How much is a bunch? Two? That's not a bunch. There. You know? Exactly. Say two. I shared it with two people they didn't see. Don't tell me a bunch. People know how those kinds of things. So, what you got to realize is the video does work, but it doesn't mean it works for everybody, and the majority of people aren't going to see an opportunity. You have to realize what you're up against. A lot of people aren't going to see the opportunity. You're going to show them the video, it's not going to be for them. Now, there are things you can do to potentially overcome that, but if you show the video enough, you'll find enough people that do like you. And those are the people that matter. Because once you get them, then you have a whole other group of people that you can then work with, because they have all their contacts. So, the list that I gave you, the contact list, and the phone script. This contact list is for a brand new person. This is what a brand new person. I know yesterday you got the form on the call, or did you get the form clip? Where? So, when you first get started, this is a brand new person. This is what a brand new person is. Now, the Players Club form that we give you, that's different. The Players Club form is for somebody who's already in. They're like, been to a Saturday training, or they've been on the conference call. Like, this person is in. They're ready to go. They want to do it. They share their goals with you. They share their motivation, what they want to achieve. That person then needs to be held accountable to the goals that they're setting themselves. Because people have goals. You know, people have things they want to achieve. Well, how are they going to do that? Well, they have to have accountability. Just like when you work a job. When you work a job, what do? They give you structure. They give you an assignment.
that give you something that they expect you to do. And then they measure. I mean, you measure it. That's why the pledge performs so valuable, because you can't work at a company and manage people and the owner of the company says, hey, how are your salespeople doing? I don't know. You haven't been at work. There has to be a standard that's measured. But in the beginning, a new person can't handle the player's performance. A new person needs something simple. And that the simplicity is in the contact. Now, you went over yesterday, right? The three times a week, people that you look up to, people that are your peers, people that look up to you. So, when you sit down with people, and the one of the things you got to do is you got to help people. This business, obviously, you're getting your exposures, but once you start signing people up in the business, really what you got to do is you have to work with your people, and you got to treat this business, I've always said this, like you're raising kids. Like, if you think that you're just going to tell people what to do, and they're going to go home and do it, now your business is reduced down to strictly luck, meaning that you got to hope that you found the right person. Like, that person's just going to do it no matter what, no matter who got involved, whether they get training, whether they don't get training. So you're really reducing your business down to luck. The reason why the trainers are the most important part of the business is because it's very hard to find those kinds of people. Those kinds of people don't even need training because they're going to do it anyway. They're just that person. Those people are hard to find. Those people oftentimes are made. But sometimes you get lucky and just find someone like that. But most of the time you just, they're made. And you know how you know when you find somebody like that? How do you know? Because they do better than you? Not necessarily. Because that may not take much.
Right, when you present it to them, they don't even ask any questions.
Nope.
They just do it.
Yeah, they get results. I mean, bottom line is they produce. They come in. They go. They start out. Boom. They start signing people up. They put them in the business. Next thing you know, gold. They're driving a BMW. Next thing you know, they're doing it. They're getting results. They ain't talking about it. They're doing the business. They sign up a ton of people. That's how. But that's what I'm saying. Now, who is that person? I mean, you're going to be lucky to find just that person that's going to come in right from the beginning and just take off in the business with no training, no information. It's the odds of that happening are so slim. Possible, but very slim. So, you got to realize in this business, this is a tell, show, try, do. If you're going to be a good leader, if you're going to build a successful business, you're going to develop your team, you can't just tell them what to do. You can't just say, make a list and go home and make calls. Really? They're probably not going to do that because they're not going to feel comfortable doing that because they've never done that before. So that isn't going to be the most effective way to do it. And then people will lie to you. Oh, yeah, I've been making calls. People lie. Why? Because they don't want to disappoint you. They don't want to let you down. They don't want to embarrass themselves. So people make stuff up. Now, I know none of you in here ever made anything up before. I know none of you in here ever lied before. I know none of you in here ever embellished it. Come on. Oh, yeah. I'm making my list. You don't think people just say that to make you feel like, okay, they were? And then what we do is we get excited about that. All right, good job. Meanwhile, they haven't been taken out the school. Just like, come on. Your parents say, did you get your homework finished? Oh, yeah. You got to finish. you're not going to do it until later. I mean, that's what we do. So, this business, you want to tell people yes. You're telling them, but then you're showing them. So, when I work with people, the most important part of this business, I'm going to give you the secret to success. You know why I came up with the name Secret to Success? I came up with that name, I mean, 12 years ago. Secret to Success. Because there's only one secret in it. I'm going to give you the secret. Ready for the secret? Here's the secret. One secret. Get people to the training. That's all you got to do. You have people to train, you're done. Period. You want to get to the top of the compensation plan? Get 100 new people in the training. You're done. 100 new people, that's about an average of $1,000 a person. It's 100 grand a bomb. 100,000 bomb. Because what's going to happen when you get 100 people to the training, a bunch of those people, a bunch, meaning like, when I mean a bunch, that's like 20, 30, not two, a bunch of those people are still not going to do anything. Like, the trainings aren't magic. It's not a wand. You know, you don't come train, it doesn't work like that. You come to trainings, you get information, but then you have to deal with your own internal demons, your own internal issues, like fear. And we fear lots of things. Fear of what other people will think. Fear of failure. Why do you think a lot of people don't try things? Because they're afraid to fail. That's the bottom line. If I don't try it, I can't fail. If I try it, I could. So people are afraid to deal with it. People are afraid of what other people think. That's the number one reason why people don't call their warm market. Why don't people call their personal concept? If you really believe in this system, I think, what's the difference? That's why I said from the beginning, we always talk about how would I act if I had 5,000 people on my team and I make 25 grand a month? See, if you already made 25 grand a month, you wouldn't be afraid to call your personal contact because your success would override. You couldn't have fear of failure. You wouldn't have fear of things because it doesn't matter because at that point, you're so successful, you don't care. And that's why when people are funny, they always put it. If once I make some money, they'll talk about Walmart. Well, you ain't never going to make no money because you need to talk to Walmart to make money. Or once I make some money, then I'll have confidence. Well, the problem is, if you don't have confidence, you'll never make any money. See, you got to do all the things up front to get the results. Because this business isn't like a traditional business in one sense. And that is that in a traditional business, like if you take a traditional franchise, you pay a lot more money for it. You know why? You pay a lot more money because they give you customers. That's why. If you buy a McDonald's franchise for $1 million, what do you think you're paying for? The meat. It ain't that good. Okay? So, you're not paying for the meat or the buns or anything like that. You're paying for customers. As soon as they throw up the M, people walk in. In this business, whatever you pay, $1.99, $4.99, $9.99, it ain't enough. And you're not going to get customers for $9.99. $1,000, they're not going to give you that. Granted, they give you a back office, they give you a website, they give you products. I mean, they give you a lot for your money, but they're not going to give you customers. You got to get the customers. You got to get the team. You got to build the business. So all these things talk about confidence, how they act, if I have 5,000 people on my team, I made 25,000 a month. All that's got to come first. If you don't have that, you're not going to go out and talk to people like you should. You're not going to introduce people to the opportunity like you should. But that's also why it's so important to plug into the system. That's why getting into the training is the key. Because the training makes you stronger. The training gets you smarter. The training eliminates some of the fears, some of the doubts. The training gives you the skill set that you need to do, especially when you're new. But like I tell people, at the end of the day, how many people you put in the training will determine how fast and how much you make. I used to work with a lady, and I just recently found at home I have. I used to have people as they started producing and making checks, send me copies of their checks with a picture as kind of their story, and I put together, man, I got stacked. And I found this one lady recently when I was going through some papers. I found one stack of these checks. And this one lady, her name's Roberta, was on there. And man, I look at how much money this lady made. And she wasn't the best presenter. She never did presentations. She wasn't like the sharpest person. She wasn't the person that people liked the most. What did that do? The question is, then how did she make money? She made money because all she did was put people in the training. And then those people didn't look at her. They looked at the system. Those people did. They went past her. They didn't care about her and how she was going to help them. They viewed past her. They looked at the system. They took advantage of the training. And then she made checks because her people were producing because of the training. And then they brought people to training. And that's how I've always built my business. Whenever I built the business, the reason why I built the business so fast, so strong, so loyal, because of the trainers. That's all I did, put people in training, put people in training, put people in training, put people in training. That duplicates my business, and it takes all the pressure off of me as an individual. That's why you got to have a system. Think about anything without a system. It just flat out doesn't work. It's chaotic. A system stands for save yourself, time, energy, money. That's what it stands for. Save yourself. Time, energy, money. Spell it out. System. Save yourself time, energy, money. If you don't have a system, you know what you do? Cost yourself time, energy, and money. Think about even something simple as this. You have no system for putting your documents or paperwork away. So now all of a sudden, you have to find a document. And all of a sudden, you're looking everywhere, and you don't have a system, just put it down somewhere. And so you're searching and looking, and you spend 3 hours trying to find the document, and you can't find it, and ultimately, what do you got to do? So far, you wasted time. Then all of a sudden, now you have to go out and maybe spend money, because you don't have the document you need, so you have to go get this document that you need, so you have to go pay money to get it again. You just waste the time, and you get money. Just because you didn't even have your own filing cabinet system that you put your paper. Doesn't matter. They call it a transit system. Could you imagine if there were no lights? No red lights. No green. No lights. No system. No line. Nothing. No system. We would be stuck. Everyone would be crashing into each other. Successful things, successful people always have truth. That's why a lot of people don't see this, because they don't have system. They get into business, they sign up, they're chaotic. They're just all over the place. Try this, they try that, things that don't work, there's no system. This can't be duplicated. This, I've always shared this. It's not what you can do in this business that matters, it's what you can duplicate in this business that matters. It doesn't matter what you can do. I don't care how good you are. The better you are, the more important it is for you to be able to duplicate. Because the sharper you are, the better you are, the smoother you are, the more charismatic you are, the more you're an excuse for why people won't do it. Oh, but you're so outgoing. I'm not like that. Oh, you have so many contacts and I don't. Oh, you're such a good presenter, but I'm not. Those things are excuses for why people don't have to do it. So that's why the better you are, the more you better have something that can duplicate. So you can take it off yourself. So they can say, no, I do it just like you. It doesn't matter how good you present, it doesn't matter how charismatic you are, it doesn't matter. Because we do this, and everybody does this. Everybody follows the system. That's what matters. The system. Use the system. So, when you think about it, when you're making a contact with somebody, you can't just tell them to go home and make a list. You got to sit down with them and make a list. That's why we have a list. That's why we put it in front of people when we're signing them up. This is the most important thing on the list. And by the way, it's free. When you think about it, there are 4 steps to getting started. Go on an application, decide which initial pack you want to get. That's really steps 1 and 2, right? Steps 1 and 2 work hand in hand together. Fill out your application, get your initial pack. Costs money, doesn't it? Now, a lot of the training that we offer, of course, online consults, things like that, that is training, pretty much those things are free. But if you're going to come to the advanced training like this and spend a couple of days really learning the business at a high level, you've got to make an investment, right? Okay, so let's put that aside. What's left? Contact us, right? Step 3 is contact us. You've got step 1, fill out your application. Step 2, get your initial pack. Step 3, contact list, your contact. Step 4, training. Okay, number 3 is free. Number 3 is free, and yet it's funny because everyone's always trying to work on steps 1, 2, and 4. You know, let's get everybody to train. I agree with that. Let's get everybody signed up. I agree with that. Well, what happens to step 3? Step three is the most valuable of all steps, because without people on your team, it doesn't matter how many trainings you go to. It doesn't matter how many that you signed up in the business. The most valuable asset you have is a contact list from your people. Yet that's the thing people spend the least amount of time on. It's the thing, like, when you sit down with somebody at their home or wherever it is your meeting, what do you spend most of your time on? Filling out their application, getting their initial pack, talking about the product, and talking about training. But really, the most valuable part of the business, if you want to have growth and exponential growth, is people. You need more people. So you got to focus on the contact list. So you sit down with people, put the contact list in front of people, and you start to say, listen, let's go ahead and get this filled out. You don't want to prejudge, let's put everyone down. Now, I know when I put this form in front of people, even though I said, let's not prejudge, let's put everyone down, I know most people aren't going to do that. Most people are going to stare at you. There ain't that much written on you. They shouldn't be staring at that long without doing anything. So, what are they doing? Well, they're thinking. They're thinking several things. They could be thinking, can I really do this? They could be thinking, do I know we'll do this? They could be thinking, and judging people. Well, they could be even thinking about specific people. That's not the way we want to do it. We want to obviously not prejudge. So we help them. We help them. And one of the best ways to do that is by simply taking a piece of paper, or just like I'll do on the board, what I do is I'll start to draw out their team. So when I sit down with somebody, I'll say, who do you know? And I'll say, just two people. This is perfect because that's what you need initially. In a binary plan, you need to get your left side started with somebody and your right side started with somebody. So all I have to simply say to somebody is, who do you know? Two people that you would like to work with. Two good people you'd like to share this opportunity with. Two people you'd like to work with. And I'll get them to give me a couple of names. That's all. I'll get them to give me a couple of names. And then, once I do that, Sid, correct? So if I use Sid as an example, so Sid gets started at this. Sid, who are two people you'd like to work with?
Neil and Kim.
Kim. So then I would say, do you know anyone that Neil knows by chance?
Yeah.
Who does Neil know?
I know Eric and Brian.
Eric and Sid.
And Brian.
Brian. Now, see, what I'm doing with him is, I'm not giving him a chance to prejudge. I'm just asking some questions. Who do they know? Who does Neil know? I'm not even asking him who else he knows. I'm asking, now you may know these people too, of course, but when I ask who does Neil know, because what I'm doing now is as I go down and listen, I might go with Sid and he can go and tell me more people, and just for the sake of time, I'm not going to draw this out, but I'll sometimes get a list of 100 people. Because I'm going to stop. I know I'll keep going, who does Eric know? And they'll tell me, and who does that person know? Who does that person know? And then they'll go, I don't know anyone they know. And then I'll go back up again. Okay, what about this one? What about this one? Next thing you know, I'm throwing out 50, 60, 80, 100 people. Now, sometimes it doesn't work like that. Sometimes I only get as far as 5, 6, 7 people. It doesn't matter to me. The idea is what I want to show you first is I want to create potential for a new person. See, I want to create potential for a new person. Because the reality is there's only three things that are going to keep people in this business. Three things that are going to keep people in this business. Number one, making money. That will keep people in this business. Number two, feeling good about what they're doing. That's actually more important than making money. Because if you're making money, you don't feel good about what you're doing, eventually, even though you're making money, you're still going to stop doing it. You could be making $1 million. You hate it, and it works on your nerves, and it really makes you unhappy. You're going to leave. I know that for a fact that I've done it. I've walked away from Tennessee because I wasn't happy. So, number one, making money. Number two, feeling good. What does feeling good mean? I mean, that you have relationships with people, that you like the people you work with, that you feel like you're a part of a family or a team. That's what I mean by feeling good. Not by, like, oh, I feel good about the opportunity, but I feel like I'm a part of something. That's very valuable. That keeps people in. And the third thing is potential, meaning if you see potential, that's going to keep you in too, because you don't want to walk away from potential. The reason why people do things and dig for things and hunt for oil or gold is because of the potential. Why do people play the stock market? That guarantees potential. Why do people go to Vegas and sit at a blackjack table? Potential. So potential is very moving. And when you sit down with someone, you help you make a list. See, now I can go back to Sid after I've developed that list. I go, Sid, this is exciting because not only do you have Neil, not only do you have a nice business that we've laid out here for you, but Neil and Kim have a nice business. It'd be cool to see them get involved and be able to benefit from all the people they know, wouldn't it? He goes, yeah, that's great. So let's get on the phone with Neil, let's get on the phone with Kim, and let's simply share the opportunity with them. See, what I want to do, what am I doing now? I'm telling you we want to make a list, but what did I do? I showed him that we can make a list. Now, the next thing, obviously, that makes him try it, and that makes him more likely to do it. The next thing I'm going to do is take the phone scripts. Take the phone script. Now, a phone script is designed as a context. It's a concept. It doesn't mean you can read it word for word verbatim. I mean, you have your own language, your own verbiage in terms of when you communicate with your friends. You know how you're supposed to talk to your friends. You know what you would say to your friends. But the idea is to stick to the context of the script. So when you're talking to somebody, and you say, hey, the first thing you should always do, whenever you're calling somebody on the phone anyway, you should ask them if they have a few minutes to talk right now. Because a lot of times somebody calls you on the phone and they just start talking, right? And you could be in the middle of doing something, you're like, eh, hang on a second. I just answered the phone and stuff quick because I'm kind of in the middle of something. So you always want to ask, hey, now is your time. You got a few minutes right now. So that's the first thing. And then after that, you go, look, if it's an opinion script, you go, great, I just got involved with something really excited, but I got a lot of respect for your business, and so I want to get your opinion on it. And all I really want to do is just email you a link to a video that's 7 minutes long. And I just want to take a look at it. It gives you kind of a brief overview of what I'm doing. I just want to get your opinion on it. Think you can do that? They can only do one of two things, unless the person is not really a friend. They're only going to need to say yes, sure, or they're going to ask you some questions. Highly unlikely they're going to say no. I mean, who is this person? Hey, I'm going to send you a link to a video. Want to get your opinion? Can you just take 7 minutes and watch it? No. Who is that? Why did you call that person? They're going to say that yes, or they're going to ask you questions. That's what's going to happen. So if they ask you questions, which and the number one question is going to be, well, what is it? That's what they're going to ask. What is it? So if they ask you, what is it? You say, let me ask you a question. How many people drink coffee or energy drinks? Well, a lot of people. Exactly. After you watch this video, I think you'll understand why I'm really excited about this. So get back to me as soon as you watch the video. But no matter what, you stick to your guns. You don't get into a question and answer session. You're not sitting in an interrogation chamber where you're strapped down and there's a bright light on your face and someone's got sharp instruments they're about to stick in your mouth. It's not like that. That's what people do. They collapse. Well, just tell them. Tell me what it is. All right, I can't take it anymore. It's fucking buried. That ain't going to work. And, you know, as soon as you get into a Q&A session, it's coffee berry. What's coffee berry? And then you're new, no less. What's coffee berry? Well, it's the berry where the bean is inside of it. And for centuries, they couldn't pick the berry, even though it had a tremendous value, antioxidant value. They couldn't pick it because it was too perishable. But now they found a way where it's not too perishable, they can save it. And so now coffee berry, they made it into a juice, and you can drink that in the morning, and then they have some in an energy drink, and even it have you it's like you can drink a cup of coffee and then it's like drinking a cup of blueberries. And it's so good. It's so good. So do you want to take a look at this video? No. That ain't gonna work. And that's what people do. See, you cannot look at things from your own perspective. I'm gonna give you an example. And write this down. Everything communicates. Everything communicates. And if we can just teach you that one day, everything communicates, meaning everything you do communicates something. A lot of people think words is communication. Everything is communication. I love when people fill out forms, right? People fill out forms. They fill out the forms. Can't read anything on it, but you know who can read it?
They
can. And that's all they care about. They don't even consider somebody else has to read the form. That always trips me out. It's like, the fact that you can read it doesn't mean anything to everyone else. Nobody else can read it. It's like when I fill out a form, I print and make sure it's extremely legible. I know I'm not the one reading it. But we don't think like that. We think in our own world, in our own space. That's it. So it's the same thing with business. Like example, always use, like you go to a restaurant and you already know what you want to eat. So you want a steak and you walk in and you go, I'm going to get a filet and garlic. You know what you want. You order it. The server leaves, goes to the kitchen, orders your food, comes back 30 minutes later, puts it in front of you, and it's chicken, macaroni, cheese, and broccoli. You're like, wow, I mean, this is wrong. And you call the server over and say, excuse me, I wanted a filet, garlic, mashed potatoes, sauteed string beans. And this is not even close. This is chicken, macaroni, cheese, and broccoli. And the server goes, yeah, I know. This is what I like. You'd be like, where's the manager? You've lost your mind. I mean, that's what you have to realize is you're already into this. What you like is irrelevant. Like some people are like, well, I love the product. Good for you. The problem is not everybody likes it like you. So the fact that you like it is good. That's your thing. What about what the person you're talking to wants? That's what matters. So you got to give everybody a fair chance. Everybody's got to get a fair chance. And the best, simplest, fastest way to do it is send them the video. Now, if you don't have, because sitting down with somebody and spending 45 minutes to an hour with them would be great, but who has time to do that? If you got a full-time job, how can you sit down for 45 minutes to an hour with every single person? Now, of course, you got meetings, like in the evening, that could bring groups of people to, and that's great. But one of the things that's so exciting about technology is the fact that it creates speed. When I first started in this industry, you didn't have technology like you do today. You didn't have interactive websites. Certainly, you didn't have streaming video and things like that. So, to me, the best part about the video is the speed factor. How many people you could show it to every day. See, you could make 5 calls a day. How long that takes? 15 minutes. 5 calls takes 15 minutes. Because you should be on the phone more than 3 minutes. If you're on the phone more than 3 minutes, you're talking way too long. You're telling them way too much. 3 minutes. How long does it take to do this? You got a peer? Hey, you got a few minutes to talk right now? So if I'm talking to Matthew, I say, hey, Matt, you got a few minutes to talk right now?
Yeah, sure.
Great. Listen, if you found something you were really excited about, you share it with me, wouldn't you? Great, because I found something that I'm excited about and I want to share it with you because I think you appreciate knowing about. I'm going to email you a link to a quick 7-minute video. As soon as you get it, man, definitely watch it. When do you think you're going to watch it? Or what is it? Let me ask you a question. How many people you know drink coffee or energy drinks?
Well, everybody.
Exactly. Just trust me on this. Once you watch this video, I think you'll understand why I thought you'd appreciate knowing about this. So when are you going to be able to watch it?
Monday.
Perfect. As soon as you don't watch it, give me a call. Okay, talk to you later. Bye. After when he says, I'll watch tonight, I don't go, did you see the game last night? Because I just diminish what I called them about. I only focus on what I call them about. Why it creates urgency. It creates, obviously it must be valuable, but that's the only thing I call them about. But you start talking about, hey, how's the family? You're just diminishing why you call. It's all about urgency. It's fast. It's furious. It's exciting. That's what you got to do. Yes, ma'am.
So, I did my Players Club this last month, and I called a lot of my peers, and the numbers and everything worked out. But now, getting into my second month, I created a list of 200 people that I know. And so now I'm getting into people I haven't talked to in like years, or people I used to work with, or friends from high school or college that I just haven't seen in a long time. And so obviously, I mean, you know, getting into a three, you know, you're not going to call and only talk to them for 3 minutes. You're going to catch up and build rapport and all that.
This is for people. This is for a brand new person that's just getting started in terms of getting after their center of influence, which you're doing, right?
Right.
When did it? As far as when you start talking to people that are further away from you in that way, yes, I agree with you. That's different. But I still let people know why I'm calling and why I'm tracking them down.
Yeah.
Like my friend that I went to high school, I called her up. I hadn't spoken for almost 10 years. And I said to her, her name was Lucette. I said, Lucette, man, it's so amazing to catch up with you. Hey, let me tell you why I tracked you down. You never guess what happened. I got involved in an opportunity I'm super excited about. The people I work with asked me if I knew anybody who had a great attitude, who had great personal skills, and they said, even from high school. So I went back and looked through my yearbook, and I saw your picture, and I saw your number written in there. And so I said, man, I wonder what Lucette's up to. And that's what I did. So you got to just find a link to that. But one of the things you want to do is take it off yourself and put it on someone else. You know, I'm working with some people, and they ask me, do I know anybody who has a great attitude and who's got good, you know, good personality, anything like that? You pick things that you know about the person, but don't put it on yourself. Then the people I'm working with ask me if I knew anybody. And then once you say that, then you start small talk. So what are you up to? But you set the stage right to figure, because otherwise it's hokey. Meaning, think about it. Would you be calling these people if you weren't in the business?
No.
Exactly. So you better be up front and tell them that, because otherwise, if you try to backdoor, that ain't going
to work. Okay, because I was doing the opposite, and I was getting to, you know, to the end when they ask what I'm involved in. Well, I'm, you know, I'd love to share that with you. And then there's no urgency. Then they never look at it. And, okay, cool. That's very helpful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, on top of that, they know why you called.
Right.
So at the end, they think, okay, so you called me, did all the small talk, but really the only reason you called me is because you want me to get in your business.
Nice. That's very helpful.
You need to do it up front. Tell them right away why you're calling.
Yeah.
And then have small talk. So I'm not, then ask the question, what are you up to, what are you doing? So like what I did with Lucette, I said, look, you know, so these people, so the folks I worked with asked me if I knew anyone had good attitude, good personal skills, and I was going through my yearbook, and I saw your picture, I saw your number, so I wanted to give you a call. What are you up to? See, so I told them up front, that's what triggered me calling you. Because probably a lot of people you know, they're usually in the same level or like these your peers. They're going to know that's the only reason you call them. It's trying to get into this. So you haven't called me in 7 years, and you just called me to what? Chit chat? No, you did. You're trying to show me a business. Why don't you tell them that up front?
Yeah.
They respect that more and appreciate that.
Nice. That is so helpful. Thank you.
So, but these scripts right here, the thing about these scripts, they're still really useful for everyone. Why? Because you can take what you need out of them. That's why you need to know me inside and out. Because all that this information is, like for instance, I'm even talking to somebody and I'm a national recruiter with an international wellness company, or I'm a recruiter with an international wellness company. If I say I'm a recruiter with an international wellness company, they're going to be like, well, what do you do actually? Well, let me ask you a question. How many people you know drink energy drinks and coffee? Well, everybody, but not the energy and drinks and coffee that our company has. Because we've got the only really health benefit in relation to our energy drink coffee. It's amazing. You've heard of SOZO, haven't you? See, that's another way I can recruit people. What do you do? Well, you've heard of SOZO, haven't you? No, I haven't. Well, some people, it's funny. If you do it with enough confidence, if you go, man, we got the healthiest coffee. You've heard of SOZO, haven't you? Yeah, they got that. Because your confidence makes them feel like, I should know that, so I'm going to say I do. So much of this business is just attitude. Of course, you got to know the lingo, too. It's how you deliver the lingo. That's why I've known Scripps inside and out. Look, I'm not a distributor in SoSo, and I know Scripps something better than some of you. You need to know it inside and out. One of the trainings that is inside your season pass, for those of you who have seen the pass on, is called Millionaire Mindset. It's a boot camp. It's a test. That's all it is. The whole thing's a test. Because most people sign up in this business, not all, but most people sign up in this business, get in this business to achieve a considerable amount of money. Meaning that if they could become a millionaire in this business, they would be okay with it. So we put on a program that tests. And you get like all different ways that we test. One is a written test. So you get oral tests, you get written tests, and like on your written test, it asks you a ton of evaluation questions, but it asks you specifics about what we teach you at these trainings. Specific. Multiple choice questions, things you got to match up. And what it does is it measures whether you are on track to be a millionaire in this or not. So like for instance, even some of the evaluation questions. How many times do you check your back office? A, every day. B, once a week. C, once a month. D, forgot my username and password. See, there'll be people that will answer D, forgot my username and password. But those who want to be millionaires, listen, you need to check your back office every day. But Greg, I have no people on my team. You need to check your back office every day. You know why? Because that's what somebody would have been with you. Number one. Number two, if you check your back office every day and you're on the team, you'll get tired of looking at no team. Maybe go do something. Check your back office every day. That's what a successful business person would do. That's what they would do. You got to be in the habit to do the things that a person who is successful does. Right? If you do what a successful person does, you probably end up getting what a successful person has. So that's extremely wise. You should know the script inside and out. That's one of the things we test. You get to come up front on the back of your millionaire badge. It has a number. It goes into the computer. We press the button. It rotates all the numbers just like a lottery, and it picks them up. And then you have to come up in front of the room and get on the stage, and we give you a handheld microphone, and we then pick one of the questions out of the poll. It says, go through the phone scripts. Role play the phone scripts right now. Opinion script. You don't get a script. You need to know it by heart. Now, of course, I know some of you won't be going to this particular training. Now that I've shared that with you. But yeah, but when you're up there and you're speechless and you don't know what to say, all it does is show you why, even though you say you want to be a millionaire and you want to be successful, why you're not. You got to know the script. You got to practice the script. You got to go through the scripts. Role play. Go over it. Practice. Just like I did right there with Ben. If he asked me a question, I handled the question. What if he asked me more questions? I would have went on to where it says more questions. Come on, Greg. You can't tell me. Listen, I know why you want to ask me a bunch of questions. I get it. But I'm new. I can't really explain it. I mean, the best thing for you to do is to just see what I saw, then it'll make sense to you. I mean, that makes sense to you, doesn't it? You see, I stick to the script. I may not say every word in the script, but I stick to the context of the script. Why are you being so secretive? Why can't you just tell me? It has nothing to do with being secretive. Let me ask you this. If I was trying to tell you what chocolate ice cream tastes, what would be better? Me trying to explain it to you, or you actually getting a ball and tasting? Wouldn't tasting give you a better idea of what I was talking about? That would, wouldn't it? Great. I'm just sending you some chocolate ice cream. I can't explain. I'm not hiding anything. Once you see it, you'll see it. It's 7 minutes. Do you know that in the time you've been on the phone while you've been grilling, you could have already watched the guy? 7 minutes. I know you're busy. I know you're busy, but I believe you speak in 7 minutes. That's it. again, a lot of these in here, you've already gone through your warm market, right? You don't have, but my point of teaching, this is what I teach my new people. That's what I'm trying to educate you on. It's not just what I'm doing, and most of us look at everything from your own perspective, what I'm doing. I don't look at that. That's where I'm so different than everybody else. I'm not about me. I'm about everybody else. That's why even when it comes to my own check, I've never cared about my own check. I don't even focus on my own check. I know I'm going to make huge checks when I help my people make checks. I help my people make checks, I get checks. That is an inevitability in this business. It's impossible to help all your people make money. Help all your people make checks and not make money. That's just impossible. So I don't focus on me, what I can do, how good I am, how much money I make. It's all about my people. So when I get a new person in the business, what am I going to do? I'm going to help them run their warm market. Sit down with them, I'm going to do a description, I'm going to help them make phone calls. That's duplicative. That's duplicative. And it's always about what's duplicative. It's not what you can do, it's what you can do. What you can do. So the contact list is really important. Get people to fill it out ASAP. The second thing you got to do is get them to pick up the phone and make phone calls. You got to make calls with people. Make calls with people. If somebody's kind of nervous, kind of afraid, kind of, you know, they don't feel comfortable, sit down with them and make calls. Well, okay, let's get on the phone with Neil. Pick up the phone and call Neil. And you've already practiced the script, and now Sid, in that case, I was using his Walmart as an example, pick up the phone and make a call. Now I'm going to sit with them. And then if Sid's like, you know, Sid is on phone and he starts talking to them, and let's say, for instance, they go, you know, they're asking him questions, obviously, and he's over there going, well, they have an energy drink, and they have, I'll be like, put them on hold. And so he puts them on hold and says, Sid, where does it say it's on the script, man? Here's what we're going to do. Get back on the phone and just say, hey, I'm sitting here, with the gentleman by the name of Greg Ehrman, he's working directly with me, and he's going to, he just wants to say a few words. And I'm going to get the phone, and I'm going to talk. So I'm going to say, hey, Neil, this is Greg Ehrman, and basically what I'm going to do is to say, listen, Sid, so highly of you, said you guys are pretty good buds, and I'm just super excited about what we're involved in. Listen, we just want to send you a quick link to a video, 7 minutes long, just take a look at it. He said you'd appreciate knowing about it. You can do that, can't you? See, you know what's cool about doing that? Neil ain't going to ask me no questions. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know who I am to Sid, so he's not going to do that. See, he'll grill his buddy. He ain't going to grill me. You don't know. That goes back to what you learned about trust and respect. Trust and respect. There's magic between that trust and that respect. And you see it all the time. That's why you have to use an expert. That's why what Rico was sharing yesterday about the triangle, right? How you have contact, and you have an expert, and you have you. How you want to connect your new people to the expert so they take the pressure off of you. Your friends know you. They're going to give you a harder time. They're going to ask you more questions. They're going to do that. They're going to be a lot more respectful of your experts if they don't know. Dating is a great example. I mean, you see it all the time. You see what happens on the first date, the second. It's all about respect. What happens after like 3-4 years? It completely changes, doesn't it? It's not because there's not respect for this person, but all of a sudden you have familiarity, you're friends now, you have this great relationship. It changes. I mean, when you in the beginning, they open the car door for you. Now they just walk through their own door. Right? Now when you go to the restaurant, sometimes they open their door and walk in front of you. They didn't used to do that. They were very conscientious. Well, like, I think the best example is when you're with them for a long time, it's like in the beginning, you never heard sounds out of your apartment. Then when you're with them for a while, you hear sounds. You never hear it. Now think about it. Do you think for the first 2-3 years they didn't have gas? No, now they just don't care. Because they have, it's not about respect, it's about trust. You know, we have trust. So that changes them when you have lots of trust. So that's what you got to realize. Your friends, they don't have respect for you in relation to this. They might have respect for you as a human being, but they'll give you a hard time. They'll ask you a million questions. You got it. That's why you're an expert. That's why you got to take the script.
not give citizens the pension. Because now Sid has somebody looking at the video. It really doesn't matter how matters that he did. And he got to see me do it. And he got to see me stick to the script. And I didn't answer questions. And I didn't get a video. That's it. Next call. We get on the phone. So Sid, learn from that. Don't explain it. Let's get on the phone again. Just go and do it. That's what people don't do. And you know why a lot of people don't get their kids? Why do you think people say this is so fun? Number one, you sign people up. So first of all, to you, that's a huge accomplishment because that puts money in the pocket. So that's what you care about most. Secondly, why do you think most people don't want to make calls to people?
Because they're
exactly. That's exactly right, man. It's like, I don't want to make calls. What if I don't care? Why are you terrible? See, why are you terrible? Because you don't practice that. Because you don't do it. Which, by the way, that ain't good because then the person you work with doesn't feel a sense of confidence from you, which is going to make them nervous and make them wonder if they can do it. Confidence has a lot to do with this business. If you sit down with your prospects and they sense that you're very confident in what you do, you feel they can sense from you, have no doubt in what you do, they're more likely to sign up than somebody who has no confidence, who's nervous. You know, you're sitting down with your new prospect. They got their contact list. They're ready to make calls, and you're sitting there going. That ain't going to be good. Okay? You got to be like, here's the phone script. Let's go. And you don't even need the script. Like, when I sit down with people and do it, I don't need the script. I don't even have the script. Here's the script. I don't need the script. I know the script by heart. Why? Because I got 5,000 people on my team. I make $25,000 a month. I don't need the script. You need the script because you're new. Let's go over. Let's help you understand how the script works. You got 5,000 people on your team. You make $25,000 a month. Never forget it. Never forget. You got 5,000 people on your team. You make $25,000 a month. Because if you want to have 5,000 people on your team and make $25,000 a month, you got to act like you have 5,000 people on your team and make $25,000 a month. You can't act like you have no one on your team and you're dead and broke and think you're going to have 5,000 people on your team. No one's going to sign up. Because you have no confidence. You have no belief. You're riddled with doubt. You're riddled with fear. You got to get over it. You got to get over it. That's why I can't wait for you guys to get to go through all the training. Like, some of you in here need the Big Show really bad. You need the Big Show really bad. Because some of the characters in the Big Show was all done in theatrics, it's all done in skit. Some of the characters are going to scare you. It's going to scare you. It's going to make you really, really, really evaluate your life. Like, when Father Time comes out, it's no joke, man. You can't hear a pin drop. I mean, it's deep. You guys don't have an appreciation. Your time is so limited. We're walking around in a circle for a limited amount of time. If my day is over today, if my time is today, I'm going to be up there, I'm going to be sitting at the pearly gates, hopefully, right? And, you know, when I'm getting interviewed, I mean, the cool thing is, you feel like you lived your life, oh yeah. You good with being here? Absolutely. If you could go back and do it all over again, what would you do? Same thing. Who would you be? Me? See, a lot of people aren't going to be able to say that, man. A lot of people aren't going to regret what they did. They're going to regret what they didn't do. So, and not everything, that doesn't mean everything in my life worked out perfect. Not at all. But I've taken a lot of risks and a lot of chances. And it's been great. It's been a great ride. I've made millions of dollars. I've lost millions of dollars. You know, that's what business is about. That's what you do. But I've always lived on the edge. My philosophy is if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much room. You're taking up too much room. You've got to be on the edge a little bit. And this business isn't really that much on the edge. Like, you know, what is really that? I mean, come on. It's not that. This business is not that. It's hard. Because you got to put a lot of time, energy, sweat, and effort, and you get rejection and all that, but it's not difficult. Mostly it just boils down to how bad you want. And the more you want and the harder you work, the more you'll catch a break, the luckier you'll get. And then it's just a matter of getting people into the training, getting the simplicity of the business, getting people into training. I just can't emphasize that enough. And until you start getting 15, 20, 30 people to train, then you'll understand what I'm talking about.
then you'll understand that you're flying through the compensation. You start bringing one, two people, it's all right. I mean, you get one, two people motivated, go out for a little bit, but it's not enough speed. This is you got to have momentum. This is a momentum business. You know, lots of people excited, lots of people showing the video, lots of people showing the business, lots of people making contact lists, lots of people making phone calls, lots of people going to training. That kind of speed, that's when it's going to get out of control. That's when you have momentum. That's when you're signing up 100 people a week, 200 people a week, 1,000 people a month. That's when you make those checks that you hear of, 50 grand a month, that kind of thing. That can happen fast, too, if you get momentum. But, of course, if you don't get momentum, then you make it $50 a week, $100 a week, because you're signing up one or two people. So you're making $200 a week. So you're making $400 a month. It's slow. So it's paying for your business, per se, but it isn't meeting your expectations. And that's the other thing that's funny about people. It's like, if it's not meeting your expectations, then you put it on the back burner. That's why I'm a big advocate of commitment. Like, I think you got to be in this business to really make it work somewhere between serious and nervous. See, when I got into this, I had to put $5,700. Plus, I went to training. And I didn't have no season pass. It was $300. Every training I went to in the advanced program was a lot more than that. Anywhere from $500 up to $2,500. Believe me, I was in the business somewhere between serious and nervous. $5,700, that was serious for me. And at that time, I didn't have that kind of money. In this business, you get it for $199, that isn't enough. It's too easy to get in, it's too easy to get out. I wish it was like the military. I wish when you signed up, you couldn't leave. Say, well, I think I'll put it on the back burner. Okay, we just got to lock you up then. All right, I'll do it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. But it's too easy to not do it. It's just too easy to go, oh, the basketball game. Listen, I used to be, I'm going to tell you, I used to be the sports guy. I mean, I watch sports all the time. All day Sunday. Like football, I had, you know, I watched every football game on Sundays, Monday night football. Are you kidding me? A conference call? Like, come on. I got Monday night football. Basketball, all that stuff. Nonstop. Man, I hardly watch any of that stuff anymore. It's not that I don't know sports. It just doesn't matter. I got to the point in my life when I got into business, like, I could watch football, watch somebody else make a ton of money, how's that helping me? You know, the reality of it is, I stopped watching. Like, yesterday was NCAA basketball. Now I found scores on my iPhone. I pulled up scores, and I found out, and then I read about it. I mean, so I still like sports, but if I'm busy doing something, I'm not. That's what you got to do. You got to make it a priority. A priority. You got to make it a priority, because if you don't, it won't be a priority, and then it'll be on the back burner. And I never understood when people tell me things like, man, I just hate my job. I wish I'd be out of my job. Well, then why do you make that a priority but not this business? Now, I'm not saying you should quit your job. What I'm saying is, why don't you put your business right up there with your job as a priority? Otherwise, how do you think you're going to get from your job to your business when it's not even a priority? And what makes it a priority? That you get on the phone every day, that you talk to people every day, that you're showing the business every day. I told you, 15 minutes, you can make 5 phone calls. Because every call is only 3 minutes. Some calls are longer than others, but you can, when you initially start this business, the people that you know well, you can call them and it only should take you 3 minutes. Get your phone, set it on 3 minutes, and you start, it'll start counting back. If it ends at 3 minutes, you blow up. You're talking too much, man. If me and you are friends, I just call you over to go, hey, Michael, how you doing? It's Greg Ehrman. Hey, what's going on, buddy? Listen, man, I'm excited about something. You're definitely going to appreciate knowing about that. I'm going to send you a link to a video. What's your email address? What is it? What's your email address? See, you get away. Get away. Just get in the video. Speed. That's all it is. saving yourself time by sending that. And you act like if you invite them to a live presentation that you're going to get them in the business better than if you show them the video. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know if that's true. I mean, bottom line is, if I was in distributed soda, that's what I do. That's what I do. That's why people ask me, if you were in soda, what would you be doing? Well, something completely different than what I'm teaching you right now. Why would I do that? How does that help me? So let's look at my own goals. Okay, I'm here to help you fast. That's silly. I want to help you succeed. So learn the scripts. Know the scripts inside and out. Now I'll take you through what to do with first person, second person, and third person. I'm going to take you through all that. But what are the questions you have? What questions do you have in relation to talking to your Walmart? A lot of you in here, obviously, you went through your Walmart. So you need folks who want Walmart, right?
Meaning that I have more time than I'll have other people. Do I still continue to send them a 7-minute video, or if I'm having more success doing one-on-ones right away with people, just meeting with them because they, you know, catching up or whatever, and I can show it from them that I've been doing, do you recommend that when having, I mean, success?
What are you having more success doing?
Doing the one-on-one.
What do you think you should do?
The one-on-one. You should.
Simple to track your results, your business owner. Your results are better than you think. And you got more time to do it. Whatever works.
How about
stay within the context. Stay within the context of the system only because, remember, if you start deviating too much, it's not duplicated. Just keep that in mind.
How about maybe just going through that follow-up then? So you use the script. You got someone to watch the video. I said you told them to call you back. They call me back.
Well, if they call me back, obviously that's a good sign, right?
Yeah.
So that's positive. That's why I always like to get a time as when they watch it and a time that they'll call me back. Because that's the way of sorting people out. Remember, sorting business, right? Everything sorts people out. Everything is a gauge. It's not an exact science, but it's pretty close. Meaning if somebody calls me back after watching the video, it's more likely that they're interested in somebody who doesn't call me back. It doesn't mean that the person who watched the video didn't call me back can't have had something come up and they just haven't had a chance to call me. But if somebody calls and nobody has been watching the video, it's more likely that, wow, that was really cool and it was really interesting. So I use that as a sorting tool. So obviously if they say to me, man, you know, I'll ask them the question when they call me back. So I watch the video. So what category fall into? 1, 2, or 3? Why do you think we put that on the video? See, that's the thing. Why do you think at the end we say, you're either a 1, a 2, or a 3? Because then a new person can go, are you a 1, 2, or 3? That's it. It's a closed question. Are you a 1, 2? It's a way to fall into a 1, 2, or 3. 1, 2, or 3. See? Everything is a system. 1, 2, or 3. Now, what if they say they're not interested? Well, they call me back and say they weren't interested. So I say, there's just two ways to handle it. One is a more advanced way. And one is the very basic. In either case, the way you start out, if somebody says they're not interested, you say, well, let me ask you this. You want to see me do well with this business, don't you? So that's the first question you ask. You want to see me do well with this, don't you? And why would you ask that? You ask that because when somebody says, first of all, they're going to say yes. They're going to say yes to that. They're not going to say no. Who is that? First of all, someone saying no isn't going to call you back after watching the video. The person who calls you back who says, I'm not interested, that's a conscientious person. They're definitely going to say yes. So you say, listen, you want to see me do well, don't you? Because once they say yes, they just agreed to help you. That's why you got to ask that question. Once you get them to say yes, then you say, this is the simple way. You say, let me ask a question. Who do you know? Just one person you think might be a good fit for you. Say, who do you know? Just one person. One person you think might be a good fit for you. That's what you do. You want them to do well, don't you? Of course. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Who do you know? Just one person you think might be a good student. See, you can't ask somebody who's not interested for a list. They ain't going to give it to you. And if they even agreed to help you, they would say, let me think about it and I'll get back. That ain't going to happen. So you need to get the referral right now. The only way you're going to get a referral is to make it very basic and simple. One person is doable, and somebody can pop that out of their head and tell you. So, you say, what do you know? Just one person you think might be a good 50. Now, they say, well, I could know somebody I think might be actually like this, and they give you a referral. Or they could say, well, I don't really know anybody. That's what you say. You don't know anybody. Now, remember, you got to pay attention to my tones. How I'm saying. Remember yesterday? Words is only 7% of communication. 38% is body language and facial expression. 55% is tonality. So my tone is, see, you can't say, you don't know anyone. See, you can say, you don't know anyone. Or you could say, you don't know anyone? You mean you don't know anyone who's like a chiropractor? You don't know anybody who's health conscious? You don't know anybody who works out at a gym? You don't know maybe you know a personal trainer? And the reason why I get into those specifics like that is because now I'm reducing it down, taking away that person's ability to generalize. Now I'm getting into those people because, like he says, well, I do know a chiropractor, but he wouldn't be interested. And I would say, let me ask you a question. Does your chiropractor maybe sell like health products out of his practice? Well, yeah, maybe. So it's possible that if I met the chiropractor, and by the way, who knows? Maybe I'd even use a chiropractor. I don't know. But the thing is, if I know it's a chiropractor and your chiropractor likes a particular product, it's possible the chiropractor can sell it. I mean, that's possible, isn't it? That's why tie downs are so important in your dialogue. Isn't it, couldn't it, wouldn't it, aren't they? You got to get great at tie downs. That's what I do. 24/7, 365. I was just talking to my brother a couple of months ago. His class. I said, well, Jeff, it would be so cool for you to come out and come to some of the seminars, man, because I talk about you all the time. And you talk about what it's like beginning, how negative you were. And then, I mean, that would be cool. You know, you'd do that, wouldn't you? And when I said that, he goes, don't tie me. That's because he's aware of what tie downs are. It works. I mean, you got to do that. You got to do that because then people are constantly answering you yes. See, when I'm saying to that guy on the phone going, I mean, your chiropractor probably sells some kind of health product, doesn't it? Yes. And so it's possible that if I go there and met with him and he might like our product and maybe we can market them out of his place. I mean, that's possible, isn't it? Well, yeah, it's free. So give me that guy's number. I will get that number. I will get that number because it makes sense to them. I made them see it. They said, yes, 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 okay, here. That's why you reduce them. Now, this doesn't work 100% of the time. None of this stuff works 100% of the time, but neither does the greatest baseball player on the planet hit every ball that's pitched to. You get out most of the time. You know the difference in someone who plays in the major league level and makes $20 million a year and is going to the Hall of Fame? The difference between that person and the person who never played a game in the major league is the difference between someone who's 2 out of 10 and someone who's 3 out of 10. Yeah. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing. You go through the process. You ask the questions. You go through the referral. Are you going to get one every time? No. But you will get enough if you do it. This is a business that revolves around the power of one. The power of one. This business is all about the power of one. You go through a lot of ones to get to the ones. One that leads you to one. That leads you to one. That leads you to the one. That's the power of one. I'm just one person. Randy Donnell is one person. He's one guy. One guy. Someone got that one guy. And because that one guy now has thousands of people on the team. How many like that Randy Donnell? He's one guy. That's what you got to realize. The power of one. So you get a referral, you get a referral. I mean, I love Randy's story when he talks about how he got in the industry initially. How some lady referred him, and he went, and he looked, and he decided to get it, and the lady decided not even to do the business. And he did it. That's how the business works. This business, I was saying this in the scene with Pat holding me, this business produces crazy stories. Crazy stories. Like, things happen, and you can't even explain. Somebody leads to somebody, how they find you, and ended up, I mean, crazy stories. Bus boys making millions of dollars. Assistant preschool teachers making millions of dollars. Pots and pan salesmen, door to door, making millions of dollars. Social workers making millions of dollars, man. Truck drivers making millions of dollars. Bartenders making millions of dollars. Crazy story. Because you ask. One of the great characters at the big show, the Master Asker. The Master Asker is a superhero. They're superpowered asker. Their biggest villain is the teller. The teller. What a criminal that is. Gotta be an asker. You gotta be a Master Asker. That's all I do. All I do is ask questions. I just did it to man. He asked me a question. What I did? What do you think you should do? I didn't even answer his question. I asked the question. He answered his own question. That's what I do. I ask questions. That's what you got. Yeah.
Warm.
That was good.
Just so I can follow up to that. You do send out the video through email. And yeah, play back and they email you back. That's what you sign into the thing.
Yeah,
call that person.
Absolutely,
back.
Call them because they're going to go into this. They're still trying to get a referral. They don't know that you're going to ask that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we went over the simple terms, right? We went over the simple, trying to get the referral. Now let's go more advanced. Now, if you're going to be more advanced, what do you got to do? If you're going to be more advanced, well, you're going to have the skills to overcome the objections that are about to come your way. So if you're going to be more advanced, you're going to ask the same question to start with. You want to do well, don't you? That's going to be first. Right after that, you're going to say, look, you know, it would really be helpful in my marketing approaches to know what it is about the business that wasn't for you. So I'm basically now going to get them to tell me the reason they're not interested. Because I might easily get a customer out of this. Because they look at it and they decide it's not for them, but that doesn't mean they couldn't potentially use our product, because we know everybody can potentially use the product. So I ask the question, what is it about the business that wasn't for you? What specifically wasn't for you? Now, if you're going to ask that question, what do you got to do? At overcoming what they're about to throw at you. Well, I just have no time. Well, I tried something like this before and it didn't work. Well, I just don't have money to put into something like this. Well, I don't know anybody who buys these products. Well, I mean, you can come up with 20 or 25 different objections somebody could have, and that's about it. It's not unlimited. It's not like never ending. It's not like, maybe you're doing this for a while. There's no new objections. They're all the same. Isn't it a pyramid? There's only, like I said, 20-25. It's kind of like playing tennis. If you think about it, you take a great tennis player, and how many different shots do you think about? You think Roger Federer is in the locker room and thinking, man, I wonder what I'm going to see today. I wonder what new shots my opponent's going to create that I've never seen before. They're all the same. I mean, the reality of it is, Roger Federer's not going to see anything new. He's not going to see anything new. He's going to see a forehand. He's going to see a backhand. He's going to see topspin. He's going to see backspin. He's going to see a slice. He's going to see a lock. He's going to see a drop shot. He's going to see a smash. What? I mean, that's what he's going to see. And it's the same every time. It's just a different opponent. Hits it a different way, but it's the same shot. That's why you play the point. Just play the point. Same shot, over the same thing in this. They did it up here. How do I know these products are set? Well, your products are good. I don't have any time. I don't have any money. I don't know anything. I mean, you can make a list of them. I'm building I've already built a website that does this, but I'm building a new website that you'll have access to that will list all the most common objections, and I'll come out and answer everyone. But I'll do it by asking them questions. Is it a pyramid? Are you looking for a pyramid? Of course you're not, because pyramids are illegal. Isn't that what you're saying? It's illegal. Well, let me educate you. This is not a pyramid because we have a product. And as long as you're a strange product with dollars, it's not a pyramid. But you may be thinking because it's shaped like a pyramid. Now you have a job, don't you? Yeah. And at the top of your company, there's probably somebody high up, like a CEO, isn't there? Yeah. And underneath the CEO, there's usually like a vice president or president or a group of vice presidents, right? And underneath your vice presidents, you got some other kind of management team, right? And underneath the management team, you got other people working in the company, employees, and then underneath them, you have, it's shaped like a pyramid, isn't it? You know, you got more people at the bottom than you do at the top. Kind of like government, too. The president, the vice president, you got the Senate, the Congress, you got state, local, municipal government, you got taxpayers. It's kind of shaped like that, isn't it? My question for you is, where are you in your pyramid currently? Because you are one in the company you work in. The only difference is you're not getting to move up that rapidly, and you're not earning money off the efforts of other people. I mean, it doesn't matter what the objection is. If you're good at overcoming it, if you've heard it over and over and over and over, and over again, the person who's asked you the objection thinks it's original. They think it's original. It's not original. I'm playing chess with somebody who's a master chess player, and you think your move is original. They've already seen that move. Checkmate. That's why you got to rehearse, and you got to practice. You got to rehearse and practice, practice and rehearse. Rehearse and practice, practice and rehearse. You think about a fighter pilot. Do you think they just let you sign up and they just put you in a uniform and they say, we're going to let you fly a $30 million jet without chair flying, without simulation, without going through rehearsal and rehearsal and rehearsal and rehearsal? That's the same thing as this. You're trying to be a pro. You think how much rehearsal a baseball player has. How many times do they catch ground ball? Again and again and again. Starting with a kid. My daughter just started softball. She's playing softball for the first time. So cool to watch. You know, and how I'm teaching her about how she's got a point, you know, step, and throw. Now, as she obviously, over time, she's going to get out of the habit of point, step, and throw. And she's going to do it fluently because of practice and rehearsal. And it's hilarious to watch games right now. You know, she just had a little tournament, a little six-year-old run. That's hilarious, right? Everyone gets on base. It's round, and that's like every inning of baseball. But certainly, that's why they the maximum runs you can get in is five. It's either 3 outs or 5 runs. And it's always 5 runs. Pretty much every time. Except by the other day, my daughter, she was playing third, and she got 2 balls hit to her. And she ran. And it's not so funny how kids are. You know she has to step on the base, right? So she kicks up the ball and runs to go. Because she's new. That's kind of like the business. People are new. They don't understand. You can just go like that. You don't have to jump on the base. But she's new. But after she does repetitions and repetitions and repetitions and practice and rehearse and practice and rehearse and rehearse and practice and prepare, she'll get good. And that's why when you play sports, that's all you do. Think about it. Sports, practice, and is more than games. It's all about practice, preparation, preparation, practice, practice. I mean, that's all it is. Think about the last game tomorrow night, right? The final game. I mean, what are they doing right now? Watching tape, watching video, having meetings, talking about what this person... They're preparing. They will spend countless... They will spend every waking hour from now till then... Preparing and then play a game that's going to happen 2 hours. That's what you got to do. That's what makes the big bucks.
Well, mine is sort of a follow up to that question. So, you get a call back or you get an email back, but what if you don't? How long do you wait to contact that person?
immediately. If you made arrangements for them to call you back and they don't, give them a call.
You don't want to go a day or two?
Why? Did they say they were going to call you back at a certain time?
But people lie.
I agree, but that doesn't mean I know that, but they don't know that. So I don't act like that. I don't remember. You're in your own head. You need to get out of your head and into your brain. See, don't be in your own head, meaning that it doesn't matter. What happens is, they said they were going to call me at 8 o'clock. They don't call me at 8 o'clock. They call me at 8:15. Hey, Connie, how you doing? I didn't see my phone ring. I didn't get the call from you. I mean, I was expecting to hear from you at 8:15. Even if it was a message, that's what I would do. Hey, Connie, how you doing? It's Greg. I didn't hear from you at 8:15, or at 8 o'clock, like you said you want to call, so I just wanted to follow up with you. So give me a call as soon as you get this message. That would be my first one. If they don't call me back after that, I'll call them again. Hey, Connie, it's Greg. I didn't hear back. Is everything all right? I mean, I hope everything's okay. Give me a call back. Let me know you're okay. Right, then you leave continue message.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but then you leave continue message. Then you say, I will leave a third message. Hey, Connie, this is Greg. What happened to you? Did you get abducted by aliens? I'd be like, it's crazy. Why are you not calling me back? Okay, and listen, if you saw the video and you're not interested in this, that's okay. You don't have to be interested in this. You don't have to avoid me. I honestly didn't think you were going to do it anyway. I honestly didn't think this was going to be for you. I just actually wanted to get your opinion on it from a marketing perspective. So I just want to ask you a few questions about it because it'll help me in my marketing endeavor. But honestly, I wasn't planning to work with you in. I would say that in a heartbeat. I would definitely say that. I don't care. I don't care. I got how many people on my team?
5,000.
22 on me?
25,000.
I'm not mean. I'm not nasty. Like, some of you ask me, so fun. And I would ask if doesn't have a PowerPoint. What do you do with your friends and how do you leave messages? You leave messages like you would to a friend. Like, I would call my friend and not call me back. Be like, Connie, why are you not calling me back right now? This is ridiculous. Why are you avoiding me? Because I sent you a video? I mean, that's crazy. Just call me. I don't care. We were friends before I sent you the video. We'll be friends after the video. I mean, this is silly. Just call me up. Listen, you're off my list. Trust me. I don't even want you in my business. Just call me back. I would say that. Because it's true. I'd just be telling the truth. Wouldn't it be ridiculous for somebody to watch a video they were friends with and they don't call you back anymore? That's crazy. And I'm telling them, that's crazy. Why are you not calling me for that thing now? Because you watched a video? Video.
Well, yeah, like at what point, like a close friend, you could really call and give him a hard time. But at what point, like, let's say if you're like, again, like people you haven't talked to in years, or even a cold market, like, do you just, is it?
Cold market's different.
Well, I know, but at what point, because you can't spend all your time with follow-up, because at one point you've got someone, so what
I'm
next?
I'm talking about 5, 6, 8, 10 calls, no. 3 calls.
3. Okay.
You know, so first call is, hey, I was concerned about you. Second call is, I'm concerned, I'm a little surprised. Now, cold market's different. See, I'm talking about this. You got to shift gears to cold market. You get a cold market person, you got to do it more from a professional standpoint. So, if I was saying, Randy.
Yeah.
So I would say, listen, Randy, we met yesterday when we were out and about, and I just wanted to follow back up with you. I know you said you were going to give me a call, didn't hear from you. I hope everything's okay. Just give me a call. So that would be my first one. My second message is, hey, Randy, it's my second call. A little surprised that I didn't hear back from you when we met. We had a good conversation. Yeah. Definitely felt like you were a very courteous person, a professional person. So, you know, that's why I feel like I hope everything's okay, because I'd be surprised, you know, by you not giving a call back. Third message would be, Randy, this is my third message. Wow. You know, I thought maybe that, obviously, again, the conversation we had, so I'm just surprised because you didn't seem like the kind of person who just blows someone off. I mean, you seem like a professional person. You seem like you have business person.
guess maybe you want me to feel like you don't. It's up to you. All I know is that if you don't give me a call, and just common things like that, I'll leave messages like that because I don't care. I'm not afraid. What if they don't call me back? So what? They want to call me in? See, I just look at what I have to do. And what I do is play the odds. Remember, always play the odds. If I leave messages like that, it's more likely I'll get a call back. If I don't leave messages like that, I have no chance of getting a call back. I make people feel guilty. I make them feel guilty. I say, listen, if you don't call me back, you're basically saying you're not professional. You don't have common courtesy. I get them to make that decision. I get them in their heads going, okay, so do I want to have, because it's true, because they're going to say that to themselves. They're going to say, it's true. If I don't call this person back after 3 times, that's not professional, and it's not common courtesy. They have to be willing to make that decision and be okay with it. And I'm okay with that, too. Do I really want that person on my team? They won't call me back after 3 times? No. So then I'm done. But the point is at least 2 things. I gave it everything I got. Number 2, I feel good about it. I feel good about it. But when you want Walmart, it's different. You can beat them to death. I had a buddy of mine who didn't get into business for a while. Eventually he did. I used to call him TV Man. Because every time I would call his house, he would always have the TV on. TV Man, how you doing? What you watching this time? Like, you're not doing anything. I mean, why aren't you in the business? I mean, all you do is watch TV. But that, you would only say that to somebody if you were successful. You'd be afraid to say to somebody why you're building your business. Just be like, well, what if I blow them out? What if I turn them off? What if I don't get them? It's like you already don't have them. You're afraid to lose what you don't have. I don't understand that. How would I act if? You're afraid. What are you afraid of? Losing that one person you don't already have. Get over it. Get over it.
My question is, it's really easy to, it seems like for me, it's really easy to fill it out.
Yeah, you can do it every time you come to it.
Yeah.
And then have the same names on every time.
So that'd be my question. I get home and my phone just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Yeah. Well, you know what? First of all, and I don't know if you do this, but I thought you do this. You're the CEO of your own company, right? On your nightstand, every night before you go to bed, you have 2 index cards, right? The first index card is, would you keep you employed? Would you keep you employed? Second is, if my team did what I did today, how would my business be doing? Would you keep you employed? So, first of all, you got to accept that if phones get bigger and bigger and bigger, which I get, but you got to accept the fact that basically your business is where it is because of that. But the other thing you can do to overcome it is get with somebody else to sit with you at the same time making calls. And that's with the fresh ones. Like, set up a competition. Like, see how many calls. But be together. And you can even go back and forth. You can say, in 1 hour, let's see how many people you can book. Or let's see how many people you can see a video. And then flip a coin. All right, head. All right, you got to go first. Go. Make it fun. Make it a good put pressure on yourself. Being by yourself a lot of times is not the way to do it. Because you can find every reason not to do it. And no one's going to hold you accountable to it. If you sit there and you guys just made a commitment to make calls for an hour, unless both of you agree to bail, which is highly unlikely, what 3 of you do? I mean, you can create an environment that's conducive to work. Like a job. I've always said the hardest person to work for is yourself. You'll run out to be on time to your job. You'll make sure you get your work done. But then you have your own business that you don't do. Like if you stop there, hey Michael, here's what you got to do. We got 50 customers. We want to get back on our service. And here's the list. You got to go down the list, make all the calls, call them up, follow this script to get them back on the service. Okay? You got to do it, and this is what you're going to do today. And you would. Doesn't matter how big the phone got, you do it. That's your job. And you know you'd be in trouble if you didn't do it. Because you imagine coming back. Think about it.
your boss comes back at the end of the day and goes, how did you know you were listening? Boss, the phone just kept getting bigger. Wow. And you couldn't say that.
Yeah, you would have
done. Isn't that funny, man? Man, we'll work for someone else, we'll bust our tail for someone else. And we'll complain about it, too. That's what's classic. We get underpaid, we work long hours, man, they don't appreciate us. I mean, we complain, and we still do it. And then we get to work our bell, we don't win. And that's why I've got to do one of the greatest lessons I ever learned right at the beginning of my career. Thank goodness for my mentor, and said, Greg, getting rich is easier than working for a living. Because you have no competition. No one else is even trying. This is the simplest thing. And when you make a check for $5,000, $10,000, that's exciting. But when I try to make a check for 50 G's a month, 80 grand in a month, 105,000 in a month, you can just sit around and you go, this is ridiculous, man. What I do, man, there's people who work way hard or way less. I ain't giving that money back and forth, but people work way hard. Crazy. This is the simplest business on the planet. And the biggest obstacle you know across the street, you're the biggest obstacle. You're the reason it ain't working. I mean, it's ridiculous in my mind for me to be here or for us to have a training area and there not to be twice as many people as this simply because all of you in here need to have at least one person new at the training. Crazy. I don't even need to become a distributor. I could just come here without being a distributor and go recruit people and get two or three people to come to the next training 5 weeks from now without even being in the business. I mean, it's just an attitude, it's a work ethic, it's a commitment to give up. It's all it. Yeah.
When will your website with the objections be done?
What would you like to be ready?
Yesterday?
Of course you would. It's on my list. This week, I'm finally off the road. I'll be home finally for 3 weeks in a row. So that will allow me to do a lot. I have so many videos to make.
Nice.
And that's what I plan to do next week. I'm off the road, thank you. I live on the road.
Is that the aspirate thing?
Yeah. So that's my other website.
Yeah.
I have a website now. Well, if you Google my name, you'll be able to find it that way. It's kind of not just, it's called Ask Greg. I'm dressed as a master ask. And then I come out and answer all these questions. But I'm going to have a site, obviously, that's more specific.
Could you go over one objection right now?
Sure.
If I could give you an example that I don't have a lot of time, one I hear a lot.
Randy, do you want more time?
Yes.
And why don't you have a lot of time now?
Am I doing this for me or can I
role play?
Yeah, okay. So I have a full-time job and I have kids and they're in sports and I'm just really busy.
Gotcha. And would you like to be in a position where you can have more time spent with your kids and have freedom and flexibility?
Sure.
So if I can show you a way that you could have more time, freedom, and flexibility to spend time with your kids like you say you want, I mean, you'd be open to at least knowing about an opportunity like that, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, but how would I do that?
Well, now, are you asking this question related to they've already seen the business?
As if they've already seen the video.
They just said the reason they don't want to do it is because they're too busy.
Right.
Okay, so if I show you a way where you could do the business in a limited time, that could ultimately free you up so that you don't necessarily have a job. Let me ask you a question. If you had, what would it take for you to leave your job? You would do your job because you absolutely love it and you're there and no amount of money could pry you away? Or is it more because you're, it helps to pay the bill, things like that?
Yeah, it just pays the bills.
So if you could earn a significant amount of money to walk away from the job, I mean, you'd be open to that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's
right. So if we could find a limited amount of time that really wasn't obtrusive and really didn't take away from your kids or the sports or anything else, I mean, it would be worth spending that little bit of time to work towards something that could get you out of your job, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I mean, Randy, let me ask you a question. I mean, you consider yourself to be like a pretty sharp person, don't you?
Yes.
Exactly. And so being that you are a sharp person, I mean, it would make sense to work towards something that could take you away from what you're doing that's holding up all your time and giving you the time to most importantly spend with your kids. Because your kids are the most important thing in your life, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So if we could find, let's say, 15 minutes or 20 minutes, let's say every other day, I mean, your kids are worth that, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's what I think. That's it, right?
Okay.
So I find things that are important to people, and I keep reminding them. See, what did I do? I took their time and revolved it around their kids.
So you're going to go over stuff like that on your website?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
She basically called me why and asked me, oh, well, that's why you asked questions.
Yeah.
This business is not about what or how, it's about why.
Yeah.
Not only because you need a why, your own personal reason why you do the business, but remember, everything is about moving people. So until you find out what moves people, it doesn't matter what happens. So all that asking questions. Asking questions, asking questions, asking questions, using tie down, tie down, tie down, tie down, tie down. Now all I did was end every statement with a question, didn't I? Just did it right there, didn't I? Can't help it. I carry this around for me for the rest of my life long. See, I can't stop. It's just a problem that I have. Oh my goodness.
How do you keep track of all the people that you've gone through? That it giving you different answers, like, no, I'm not interested. Is that what the initial contact book is for, or?
Yeah, absolutely.
What?
Your initial contact book, which, by the way, when I use my initial contact book, I use pencil. I use pencil because they're pencil. You know, and I put down my name and my phone numbers and all that. I put the relationship. How do I know them? Because sometimes people I put in my initial contact book are just my people. Like Dean calls me up and Dean says, hey, you know, this person was a social worker. Can you call this person for me? I think that, you know, they already looked at the video and I think it would be helpful. And I say, sure. So I get the person's information down and I put in there, referred to me by Dean. I get, what do they do for a living? I write down a little bit about their occupation. I write down maybe what type of income do they earn. Okay. I get a little information and then I take notes. So in my initial contact book, I'll track everything. Left a message on this date, supposed to get back to on this date. So this is where I work at. And the reason I like it like this is because, you know, you have Sozo Builder, and you can drop people in there and things like that, but you can't take it with you. I mean, it can't be just available to you anywhere, anytime, any place. It's limited to obviously internet access, to have the ability to open your computer and go through that. This is a lot more flexible. So that's great, and that's an excellent tool to use when you're in position to use it. But this goes with me everywhere. I live at it. And it's just amazing because, you know, I'm able to go through and I go back to people, and I know whether or not, and also I also number what people are, 1, 2, or 3. Now, if somebody's, like, rude, somebody's, like, has an attitude, I just put a line through them. I'm not going back to that person. I don't care if they don't deserve the opportunity. I'm not desperate. I might even call them back and refer them to another company. You know? But I'm definitely not getting in my company. So next. But yes, this is a powerful tool. All these books are important. I mean, again, all these books are important. That's why we made them. We didn't make them to look pretty up in front of the room. A daily planner. What does a daily planner do? It maps out your day for your business. Who is the thing? What are the things I need to do in my business today? What are the phone calls I need to make today? Do I have some appointments? What are those appointments? Oh, and then obviously I'm taking notes. When I'm talking to my contacts, I'm taking notes down. When I'm working with people, I'm making phone calls. Whenever I think of something, I'm taking notes. This is my business daily planner. This isn't my life daily planner. This is my business daily planner. That's how I plan my day. Every day, this is my Sozo business planner.
organized, urgent, and taking action. And then you have your team member tracking. The whole point of the team member tracker is also that you have a checklist of all the things you want people to do. So when I put somebody that signed up in the business, I put their pertinent information down. Reason for getting started, that's their why. So I put down, what is their why? I put down their goals. I have an area to nurture. No, I want to know their birthday. I want to know their start date numbers. Why does somebody call those people up after they've been in for 30 days? Hey man, graduated in 30 days. Excellent. Let's get 6 months. Then I have a check. You have your audit sheet. Check. You got your initial pack. Excellent. Check. Did you complete your contact list? Got 50 people down? Check. Did you start inviting people, get some exposures? That we've been starting to send out videos? Excellent. Or we haven't done an overview yet? Have we had people over your home? No, we haven't done that. Let's set that up. Are you binary qualified? You just go down. All these different things that you have. Because you know if you take somebody through all of these steps, including training, I mean, you got a good distributor, right? Don't you got a good distributor on ownership that got their pack, completed their contact list, doing their playbook on, they're exposing the business to people, they're doing overview, they're coming to an overview, or having one at their house, they're binary qualified, they're working towards getting their ownership completed, while they're working and moving up in the comp plan, they understand the comp plan, they navigate through their website, they've gone through the website, they want a back office for us, and they've gone, they've got them on conference calls, they do distributor conference calls, product conference calls, they watch online videos, they've gone through Secrets of Success. Is that not a good person? How do you know who's doing that and who's not doing that if you don't have something? That's why it's called a tracker. It tracks your people. It allows you to know whether or not they've done what they're supposed to do. A lot of you have no idea what your people do. You don't know. You don't know. Most of you are just hoping it works. I hope they do it. I hope they get binary qualified. So, yes, these are valuable tools. If you don't have them, why? I mean, again, it's another one of those things. I've been telling you, I've been bringing these books since I've been coming. If you don't have the books, you ain't paying attention.
Social builder. So if they watch the video, how much they watch it.
Right.
You have somebody that's on there, they watch 15 seconds of the video. How do you follow up on that? You call them up, just you say, hey, you don't have the video, or you say, halfway through the video, or you want to see it?
Yeah, have you had it first place find something lying, right?
Yeah.
Have you watched the video?
Yeah.
And you know they haven't, right?
Yeah.
Say, come on. Have you watched the video? Tell me what the video was about. Why not? Have fun. Ask the question. Well, I didn't get to watch the whole thing. Something came up. Well, when are you going to get to watch it? I mean, why would you tell me you watched it and you didn't watch it? I mean, that doesn't make sense. I don't care if you're interested or not. I just want to watch it, so I think there's good things talking about. Well, when we talk, or if it was a cold market or something, you know, when we talk, you say you kept your options open. Well, how can you keep your options open if you don't even look at the options that are presented to you? I mean, that doesn't make sense.
Let's maybe just finish up with the idea of if you get that call back and they're two or three.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
And we come back to lunch, we're going to go.
Okay, good.
I'm going to go through all of the
good.
I'm going to go through 100% of how to close. So in other words,